Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, John Nashis, New Mind Development Project, focusing on issues of concern. Peace be upon you all, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Once again, this is your host, John Nashis, and we're reflecting on issues of concern. And we most certainly have a issue that is a big concern today. This is the first day of Ramadan fasting, and I believe Muslims all over the world, even in the eastern part of the world, are starting to fast at the same time. And this is kind of rare, but nonetheless, we had a sighting of the moon, sighting of the Hilal, I should say, the new moon, and that was the indication that this is the beginning of Ramadan. So this program, we're going to make some comments based on the Quran, some things from the Prophet Muhammad on Ramadan. For those of you who don't know, hopefully you can gain some understanding or bigger understanding from this program of what Ramadan or the fast of Ramadan is all about, fasting to learn self-restraint. And that's what Allah teaches us in the Quran. And that's the purpose of a fast. And not only do we have fasts as Muslims, there's also Jews and Christians and other religions have fasts to discipline themselves, because the powers of the world is very, very strong. Satan is busy all the time. And if we can't restrain our appetites, then quite naturally we're going to be overrun by the influences of Shaitan. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Muslim calendar, following the lunar calendar. Lunar calendar is the sun, the moon, excuse me. The fast starts at the sighting of the new moon of Ramadan. And Ramadan is the month that the fast takes place. It's the ninth month of the Muslim calendar. And we fast from the time that the sun rises until the time of the sun sets for 30 days of doing this ninth month of Ramadan every year. And in the lunar calendar, the time changes, unlike Christmas or other holidays. It changes. So it won't be, for example, December 25th, like Christmas every year. It rotates throughout the whole cycle. So we might fast in the hot days of August, or it might be in winter months, or it might be in spring or fall. So we experience those cycles. So it conditions us under difficult situations, pleasant situations, not so pleasant situations, because in August the fast lasts for, I can't recall right offhand, but that was the first time we fast as Muslims under the leadership of Imam Warithi Muhammad. And it was, I think, the longest days of the year. And, it was a trial for us, and alhamdulillah, we're still here. Ramadan ends at the sighting of the new moon, or 30 days, or it might be 29. With the lunar calendar, it could be 29 months, or 29 days, or 30 days. And quite naturally, God knows best. Ramadan is followed by a celebration called Eid al-Fitr, alhamdulillah. So we start the fast, and at the end of the fast, we will celebrate Eid al-Fitr all over the world. Muslims, I believe we like a billion, maybe and a half Muslims all over the world. So that's a lot of individuals worshiping God at the same time. And as many blessings go out, we pray for the believers, we pray for the disbelievers to make them believers. And we work and give charity, visit people, hospitals. We should make a habit of that, even when it's not Ramadan or Ramadan season or Eid season. We should visit people in the hospital. Right? Sometimes you go to the hospital and you see you know, situations where people have terminal illnesses, their families. Sometimes you might even have an opportunity to speak to people and kind of give them a kind of cheerful kind of attitude while they're going through their difficult times. So this is what it's all about. And this is not only what it's about during Ramadan. This is about Ramadan and self-restraint throughout the whole year. Ramadan Mubarak. And you might hear Muslims saying to each other on the jobs or in the streets or in the stores or whatever, Ramadan Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak means blessed Ramadan. Have a blessed Ramadan. A blessed Ramadan means that God is with us. And that's what we want to understand. So this is our holiday season. And we're looking forward to sharing it with our families, our friends, etc. And we're also looking forward to celebrate at the end of the Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Now, we're going to read some verses from the Quran that Allah addresses directly. When we say Allah addressing them directly, the Holy Quran is the direct word of Allah or God, inspired in the spirit of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be upon him. And as we know, Prophet Muhammad was unlettered. He didn't have the knowledge of scripture and whatever the case, but he had a pure heart. And those of us who are believers, we know that Allah speaks to a pure heart, because some instances we don't receive revelation, but in some instances we get inspiration. If our heart is pure, Allah will inspire something in our heart, and we wonder to ourselves, where did that come from? I know sometimes when I was an imam, I'd be given a khutbah, and I have all my notes and my thoughts and everything, and then all of a sudden here comes another thought. Seems to be out of left field, and I believe that that's the inspiration of Allah, giving me that inspiration to convey what he desire for each and every one of us. Alhamdulillah. And God, quite nasty, is the best. No. He says in the Quran, God's name, the merciful, benefactor, merciful, redeemer. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. That's Surah 2, called Al-Baqarah, ayat or verse 183. O you who believe. Now, this is for the believer. This fast is not for the disbeliever. It's for the Muslim, the Muslim believer, those who believe. He said, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, the believers, Christians, and Jews of the past. They had their own fast. Actually, that's one of the principles of our religion, one of the five principles, fasting. And we all of us have the same principles. We might not perform them the same way, but in principle, yes, same principles. So fasting was prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. So the fasting is prescribed. It's a prescription, prescribed. It is ordered by God. That's what we have to understand. Fasting is for the believer. It is prescribed or ordered by Allah, by God. For the Muslims today, as it was for the Jews and the Christians in the past. And Jews and Christians are believing people. Sometimes we think that we the Muslims or the Christians might think that they the Christians and they the only believers. No. Jews, they had prophets. The Jew had Moses. The Christians had Esau, right? And people today, right today, they believe in God. How they believe? Maybe they don't believe the way we believe, but Allah judges the sincerity of their heart. That's important for us to understand. And we have to be respectful. And if we do, God will bless us in this life and also the afterlife. As it was for the Jews and the Christians in the past, for the purpose of learning self-restraint. Now, keep in mind that God, he didn't come to teach different religions. Abraham, Moses, all of them received the same message. Maybe it didn't come to them in the same kind of structure or language that we experiencing here today in the Quran, but nonetheless, it was the same message. You could pick up the Quran and study the Quran. You could study the Jewish scripture. You could study the Christian scripture. And it's basically all the same. This is what we have to understand. There's no differences. But we find, because of Shaitan or Satan, the biggest enemies that we seem to have is the religious people because of our misunderstanding. And that's the influence of Satan also. So we have to be mindful of these things. Or self-restraint or taqwa. Once we develop taqwa, you know, the word taqwa means to be God conscious. Now, when a person is fastened by the order of God, by the order of Allah, then he's going to be conscious of God all day long. Time of the fast, he's going to be conscious because he's conscious because he gets thirsty or gets hungry, and he says he wants to drink, but then he remembers, hey, I can't drink. Why? Because Allah, because God prescribed or ordered us not to do it during the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. So it's a remedy. It's a remedy. A remedy is just like the old folks. I remember my grandmother, she used to make concoctions. She called them remedies for like colds and different kinds of things. Here, drink this, boy. And if you drink it, you feel better. And sure enough, you did. And even if you didn't, you made certain that you said you did, because that was grandma. And then some of their medicines were psychological. Didn't have any benefits, but they knew how to psych you out. They're old scientists from the South and from Africa. And quite nasty, God is the best knower. Do good deeds. When we're conscious, when we have taqwa, when we're God conscious, then we're going to do good deeds to our fellow man. Nobody's going to go hungry. Nobody's going to suffer. If we have an opportunity to make their lives better or make their lives pleasant, God knows best. So we don't know and fully understand everything about the Ramadan and why we do this and why we do that. And I'm pretty certain we have people amongst us who maybe think they know, but they don't really know. We do it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do it. Ramadan is not for promoting our personal interests. You know, sometimes you see ads that people have, they use the word Ramadan and they're promoting their interests. Not for that. It's not the purpose of that. We should never do that. And then we also hear people, this is an opportunity for me to lose some weight. You don't do Ramadan to lose weight. You perform Ramadan to learn self-restraint. Or you don't do it for any other interest except taqwa, to develop that God consciousness, that self-restraint, restraining ourselves from evil. And we live here in these United States of America, and we can all bear witness that evil is all around us. There's nowhere you can hide today, all around us. And if we don't have the restraint, then we're going to fall victim to those influences. Your fast is for you only. It's not your business. My fast is not your business, and your fast is not my business. I can't fast for my wife, or I can't fast for my children. Each individual has to fast for their own personal selves to learn self-restraint. Pleasure of Allah alone. I recall years ago somebody saying that Allah loves the breath of fasting man. Now, we know that the breath of a fasting person is not a pleasant breath to smell, but we're not talking about Allah smelling the breath. We're talking about the act that the individual is performing. You know, so we make our intentions to fast the month of Ramadan. Every day we should do that. When we wake up, we should make intentions to fast. See, because all matters are judged by intent. And if we have sincere intent to do something and we don't fulfill it, then the matter is judged by our intentions. And actually, we should make intention for everything we do. When we go out, anything that we do, if we're in sports or school or education or whatever the case, we should make our intentions to fulfill the obligation that we set out to do. And Prophet Muhammad, who received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's our leader. Matter of fact, he's the leader of the whole Muslim world, received the revelation. And we have a lot of sheikhs and scholars and imams and whatnot that people hold in high esteem. But Prophet Muhammad, you hold them as high as you want, but Prophet Muhammad is the leader. So if we pick up the Quran and study the Quran and study the life or the uswa, the character, that's more important than all of these books and things that people ascribe to Prophet Muhammad. First of all, study his character. And if we study the character, then we try to duplicate his character, and then Allah, Supreme with Allah, blesses us. He said, Prophet Muhammad said, when it is the first night of Ramadan, the evil devils are chained. The devils are chained up. You know, I used to work in a prison facility, jail, prison, but a jail, Westchester County. And we were talking, some of the inmates was under the impression that seeing that the devil was chained up, they could do pretty much what they wanted to do. No, it don't mean that. And see, this is why we have leaders. This is why we have scholars. This is why we have people of knowledge, so they can interpret the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Quran, and also what Prophet Muhammad, what he's saying. He said, because the shaitan is chained up for those who fast. Because why? We have that self-restraint. He don't touch us. He can't touch us because we are restraining ourselves. But if you can free yourself, or you don't discipline yourself, then and continue to do bad deeds, then shaitan will be all over you, even during the month of Ramadan. Keep that in mind. Fasting is a shield from evil and hellfire. Also, he said, the true fast forgives all sins. That's beautiful. And believe me, we need that. We need that kind of inspiration. We need to teach our children from a young age because we know we're going to do wrong at some point in time. But how do we resolve these things? How do we find peace and comfort for our soul? And then we know we do that by fulfilling our obligations, fasting, our prayers, our dua. Imam Muhammad taught us that prayer is dua. He said, yes, prayer is a dua. Dua is a personal prayer that we pray asking God for forgiveness. Worship is our salat. And this is, as a matter of fact, our whole life is a salat. Not just the standing and bowing and that we do in the masjids for at Juma time or when we make our regular salat, but the whole life is, the salat is preparing us to live our whole life on our jobs. If we are in the military or wherever we are, that we're performing salat if we fulfill all of the obligations in that worship. It's a discipline. Alhamdulillah. And Allah knows best. And also in Surah 2, Ayat 184, the first ayat or verse that I read was 183. And this is 184. The second chapter or the second surah. Fasting for a fixed number of days. But if any of you is ill or on a journey, the prescribed number should be made up of days later. For those who can do it with hardship is a ransom, the feeding of one that is indigent or poor. But he that can give more of his own free will, it is better for him. And it is better for you that you fast if you only know. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The fast lasts for 29 or 30 days because it is regulated by the lunar calendar. Lunar calendar means the moon, the sighting of the moon, and 30 days or 29 days thereafter. Under the lunar calendar, night precedes day. So in other words, the day in Islam starts tonight. In this society, when we wake up in the morning, that's the beginning of the day. In the Christian society, American society, Western European society, it starts in the morning. But for the Muslim, the calendar, Islamic calendar, the beginning of the day starts at night. Sometimes we have to get used to that kind of thinking, but so be it. Under the lunar or Western calendar is the difference. Day precedes the night. Those who are ill and those who are on a journey, have individuals sick. We have the flu season. We have different kind of illnesses or whatever it is. If you have an illness that is not a permanent illness, it's an illness that you considering getting well, or you on a journey, which is a journey. You're going to visit some relatives on an important matter. You stay a week or two. Those times you are free from fasting. You don't have to fast, but you have to make it up a day for a day later after you become well or either you return from your journey. Because you have to fast, you have to be in your residence, in the town where you live, to fast the month of Ramadan. But you leave there, then you have to make those days up. You don't have to fast, but when you come back, you have to make them up out of the Ramadan season. It won't be in the month of Ramadan, it'll be in the next month, quite naturally. So we have to keep these things in mind. If there is a condition which prevents you from fasting, which prevents you. In some cases too, that people, they just don't feel strong enough or they don't, but you, there's a, what do you call it? A ransom, I guess, for lack of a better word, that you have to feed one poor person or needy person each day of the fast. If you have a condition that's not going to get better, sometimes we're telling people, you know, brother, you got to fast. Peace be to Allah, brother. You got to fast even if you on your deathbed. No, don't listen. Don't listen to those kinds of things. God gives us the provisions. I remember when we were in the Nation of Islam, we used to fast every day. Matter of fact, we ate one meal a day. We ate in the morning. I don't even think we ate. We drank coffee and water, and we fast for the whole day, and when the sun set, we ate. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet. That was the Nation of Islam. We were kind of getting prepared, right? And there was a brother, he was an official, and one of the rank-and-file members, he happened to see the brother eating during the daylight hours. And then he went and spread the word around. I guess he wanted to try to shed some negative light on the official. And he said, yeah, I saw him eating during the day and blah, 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 blah. So when the official finally got around to it, he just said, he asked one question. How do he know I wasn't sick? He never asked him. He never went to the brother and asked, well, brother, are you sick? He didn't ask him that. He just spread the word around that individuals doing something, blah, blah, blah. So later on, just to give us some understanding, later on, the brother had his foot removed because he had diabetes. And then maybe not too long after that, maybe a year or two, or a couple of years, he died. So was he sick? Yes, he was six, right? And this is the same thing the Lord teaches us here. If you have an illness, a permanent illness, he said that you don't have to. You're exempt from fasting. Also children, young children, people who are insane, people who have mental problems, women who are on their mints or childbearing, they're going to recover from that so they can make up those days later. But a person or individual who is ill, that individual, and he's not going to get better, then he needs nourishment in his body. And we know how thick this society is that we live. We eat unnatural foods, right? The water is unnatural, impure. You can go right over to some of these pharmacies like the CVS and those kind of places and just look at the aisles of the non-prescription medicine. Look down, you got an aisle for headaches, you got one for diarrhea, you got one for this, you got one for pain here, you got all kinds of medications that you don't even need a prescription. And then look behind the petition, those are all prescription medicine. Everybody is on prescription medication today. So we have to be careful and don't mess around and get sick and then try to blame it on the teacher who's given these instructions, because sometimes we have to question the teachers. Allah tells us to give more of our free will. And it's a good time during the month of Ramadan, just like during the time of Christmas and holidays and Jewish holidays, they go around and give more of their free will. They go out into the community giving baskets of food, donations, or whatever the case, whatever it is, visiting people in hospitals, paying for children's education, whatever it is, more, give more of our free will. And giving more of our free will means that I'm not obligated to give it. I'm giving it out of my free will. Beautiful. It's beautiful. And the reward is tremendous. You know, I was in the store, in a restaurant store, coffee shop, and I was talking to a lady, and she just engaged me in conversation. She was a Jehovah's Witness, and she asked me, "What did I do?" And I told her that I was a retired chaplain, and also I was a imam. I was a volunteer. I volunteered as an imam for a number of years, and she said, she did some volunteer work too. She said, "Isn't it better? Don't it feel better to volunteer?" I said, "Yeah, it's just something about it. Does something for your soul, kind of frees you up to feel that your commitment and your obligation is to God only." She was a Jehovah's Witness. I think she came to me to present the Jehovah message because we know what they do. But when she found out that I was a Muslim, she didn't even bother. We just had a little conversation, and that was it. But the free will, the use of the free will, is your free choice. And this is, last week we talked about the Constitution of the United States of America. And I said the Constitution is a religious document. The Articles, amendments, we were talking about, and you have free will. The first, matter of fact, I think the first one is freedom of speech. This society gives you that to make your free choices, right? To utilize your free will. This is what God, they didn't give it to us. God gave it to us. It's a very beautiful thing, free will. I think we're the only creatures that have that, human beings, free will. Everything other creations is clocked. Their nature is they're driven by the nature that God gave them. We can break out of our own nature. Beautiful. And we can stay in our own nature. Quite nasty, God knows best. So we have a moral responsibility. I mean, our free will or your moral responsibility. Why do we call it moral responsibility? Because God gave it to us. Only God can give you that. Alhamdulillah. And boy, nasty God is the best knower. And I say that God is the best knower because we have to keep reminding ourselves. You know, we have a lot of teachers, we have a lot of instructors, and people come upon us, and sometimes people in the smallness of their minds, they start to worship teachers, and instructors, and scholars, and imams, and pastors, and rabbis, and preachers, and things of that nature. God is the best knower. Allah is the best knower. And we have his reference right here, the Holy Quran. Is Alhamdulillah. And this is also a lesson that was taught to us during the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan. Keep in mind, the ninth month of the Muslim calendar gives us that to fast. Why? Many reasons. We can go on and on. Because Ramadan, according to the Quran, the word of Allah, Surah 185, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. The Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed or sent down as a guide to mankind. Also clear signs for guidance and judgment between right and wrong. So any one of you who is present at his home during the month should spend it in fasting. Any is ill or on a journey, the prescribed period should be made up by days later. Allah intends every facility for you. He does not want to put you to difficulty. He wants you to complete the prescribed period and to glorify him in that he has guided you, and perchance you will be grateful. And perchance you will be grateful. Alhamdulillah. Now this you can see the mercy of Allah just in that statement. Because if he was a hard taskmaster, he said, either you be grateful or I'm going to cut your head off. Right? And we know people that do that. Either you're going to submit to me or I'm going to lock you up. He said, no. Perchance, he said, and to glorify him in that he has guided you, and perchance you will be grateful. Alhamdulillah. Beautiful state. So the Quran, and in the month of Ramadan is the time that's called the night of power. Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, the time that the Quran came down. And you'll find Muslims, it says an odd night in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Nobody knows the exact night, but I think they give it the strongest indication would be the 27th night, which is the 27th, which is actually the 26th day of the Christian calendar, because night precedes day. And that's the time that's gone. So they go out to the masjid, they offer prayers, stay up all night giving prayers and reflections and things. And because if you catch that time in the worship of God, there are many, many, many blessings. And you find Muslims in Saudi Arabia, Islamic countries, Egypt, etc. They're coming out. People are leaving the United States of America and Europe or wherever to go to Saudi Arabia for the last 10 days of Ramadan. And some go for the whole month of Ramadan, if you can afford it. Alhamdulillah. And if that is your desire. So the Quran was revealed during the month of Ramadan. Beautiful. And then the surah that was revealed during that month, the first surah of the Holy Quran. Now, the first surah listed in the Holy Quran is Al-Fatiha, which is the first chapter, seven off-repeated verses, we call it. Right? And it gives us like a snapshot of really the whole Quran, if we reflect in our understanding. The whole Quran right there. See, because the Quran is not a book that we read lightly. You know, hey, oh, I read it already. No, you didn't read it. You know, matter of fact, you can spend a whole lifetime and haven't read the Quran, because the Quran is deep. It's words or phrases that have deep, deep, deep meaning. And if one part of the Quran will answer another part of the Quran. So we have to read it. And this is why we say we read the Quran during the month of Ramadan. But we should read the Quran all the time. And we get slack. We get behind. We get the problems of the world is upon us. A lot of things that we're going through and trying to figure out. But we do the best we can. And we're not going to be the most complete, but what is your intentions? Make sure that our intentions are clear. And if our intentions are clear, Allah will bless us. Now, it was sent down. The Quran was sent down to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from up high, not up in the sky. Don't take those kind of thinking thoughts out of our mind that God is up in the sky and he's sending down angels with revelations and things of that nature. It had meaning, I mean, for proper understanding, but we don't buy that. We don't buy into that. And when this message came down to the Prophet Muhammad from the angel Jibril, we have to have a clear understanding of what these things mean. And the message is revealed in the 96th surah of the Holy Quran, the first seven ayats, I believe. Or is it seven or five ayats? Excuse me. 1 to 5 during the month of Ramadan. And I'll read it in English. Read, Iqra. Iqra means to read. Read with the name of your Lord and Cherisher who created mankind out of congealed blood. Read, and thy Lord is most bountiful, who taught the use of the pen, taught man that which he knew not. Alhamdulillah. This is the first words of the revelation, because anybody who know the history of Prophet Muhammad during that time, the angel, when he came, he said to the Prophet Muhammad, read, or Iqra, read. Prophet Muhammad said, I can't read. You know, there's history that some people felt that he couldn't read the written word, the language of the written word. Some other people believed he was talking about the word of scripture. He couldn't read scripture. And I know that I've heard at least all you, ma'am, he mentioned that Prophet Muhammad had to know how to read. He was a businessman. He signed contracts, etc., right? But I'm going with the understanding that he couldn't read scriptural knowledge from the Jews or from the Christians or whatever the case, the past. He had no connection to religion. He was just a good moral individual. And the angel said to him, read again. And he said, I can't read. And then he said, read. I think it was the third or the fourth time, read. And he said he couldn't read. And the angel grabbed him and held him real tight. He impressed some strength upon him. And he said, read in the name of thy Lord and Cherisher who created. And then the Prophet Muhammad, the spirit woke up. And then his soul, he was able to read, not from the understanding of his intelligence or intellect, but from his soul, from his spirit. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran on the heart or the soul of Prophet Muhammad. And he began to read the revelation that Allah revealed to him throughout his lifetime until the Quran was completed in its 114 surahs or chapters. Alhamdulillah. So this is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the month of Ramadan. And this is an awakening for religion in general, not just for Islam, because in Islam, we don't come just to look to wake up Muslims. How are you going to wake up a Muslim and he's not a Muslim? When I became a Muslim, I wasn't a Muslim. I was woken up to become a Muslim. And this is our responsibility. It's a Christian's responsibility. Christians do a wonderful job doing dawah or missionary work. They're all over the world. And they might have different denominations, but they all believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they pushed it. We don't accept that. And the reason we don't accept it is because we don't see Jesus as God. We see Jesus as a prophet. And they've given him to us image. We don't accept that. Allah is indivisible. How do you know he exists? Faith. We have faith that he exists. Prophet Muhammad revealed the Quran publicly, he said, now either you accept it or reject it. And for the believer, they accepted it. And for the individual who's not a believer, he rejected it. So we don't accept. And Christians might say the same thing about Islam, but we can logically explain what our position is as far as creation, the creation of Allah. He said, read in the name of thy Lord who created. That's evidence enough for me. Created creation. Read in the name of thy Lord who created. What did he create? First of all, he created you. He created me. He said, did he create us? He created us from the earth. And then he gave us an intellect, intelligence. And then he gave us free will. That's a creation. He created us from the earth. It shows us that this physical body that we have now, when it dies, is going back to the earth. But he also created us with intelligence, a rational mind, free will, all of these things. And we can see it. We can see the growth of human life over a period of time. And then he also created creation, everything in the creation. So he said, read in the name of the Lord who created. In other words, what is he telling us? Read creation. If you want to be educated, read what I created. And everything that God created has a very serious message in it. The tree, the grass, the birds, the sky, clouds, rain, rocks, all of these things. Allah put them there. And it has wisdom. Everything that God created, he wants us to read the wisdom that he put into that creation for the benefit of our growth and development. And quite nasty, God is the best knower. So this is a beautiful, beautiful religion. And we can be sitting out in the middle of a desert or up on the top of a rock or the middle of the ocean, and we still in our deen, so to speak. We're watching the morning sun come up. And this is a message that God gives us every day. I said once, I called it a khutbah. I said, it's the khutbah of Allah. He said, when the dawn time comes and we get up for prayer, it's an indication of the light across the horizon, separating the light from darkness. And the individual gets up and he stands up and he prays. He prays all the way up into the dhuhr prayer time, the noon prayer, which is light. There's light, there's energy, there's light and enlightenment, there's knowledge in light. So we take advantage of that time. And then when the sun begins to decline, it mentions in Quran also that God strictly against the middle prayer, which is the Ash prayer. Why? Because we're going into darkness. Now we're in decline. Man is in decline. And then eventually he gets to the point where the sun begins to set and we make our prayers and the sunset prayer, and then there's total darkness. What does that mean? It means that the light is gone, the knowledge is gone. But by the mercy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next day the khutbah starts all over again. So it's a continuous message for the human life development, how we come into out of darkness into the light, how we rise up, how we set, and how we come up all over again. Continuous cycle, continuous cycle, continuous cycle, and Allah knows best. So this is the message that we are bringing to you today on this program, New Mind Development Project, focusing on issues of concern with your host here, John Nasheed. And we pray Allah that each and every one of you have a very blessed Ramadan. We pray for you. We pray for your family. And let's get out and do some things in the society, because we're going through troubling times right now. We got wars in the world, serious war. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people are dying over an argument of land, whatever the case. We have these things, and we see the storms and things that's taking place, especially in California, where California, Southern California, didn't snow. Houses are covered in snow. Rivers are flowing into people's homes, etc. People are dying from murder, killings, and all drugs, and so many different kinds of things going on. So don't just take this fast like we didn't eat today, and I fulfill that obligation, and that was it. It's bigger than that. Learn self-restraint so we can free ourselves from the evils of Shaitan and carry out what Allah's desire for us, for our fellow man. So we thank you for spending this short time with us today. I say to you all, Ramadan Mubarak, and may Allah continuously bless you in this life and also the afterlife. And Ramadan Mubarak.